Would you please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel and go to chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. People react to troublesome times in their lives in different ways. That can vary from person to person, and it also may vary from circumstance to circumstance. And everybody has troublesome times, but not everyone tries to solve them in the same way, or maybe I should say in the right way. And the question becomes, well then, what is the best way to handle those difficult times in life? Well, one person in the Bible who certainly had his share of troubling times was David. I mean, just think about everything that David went through in his life. He was pursued by King Saul. He barely escaped more than one assassination attempt. He had to spend a lot of time hiding in the wilderness. His entire family was kidnapped on one occasion. His friends turned against him and were ready to kill him. He suffered the shame of having committed adultery and murder. His son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. His other son, Absalom, then murdered Amnon. Absalom held a revolt against his father. Then Absalom himself was killed, causing David much grief. We could probably keep going, but the point is driven home that David was certainly a man that faced a lot of problems in his life. Yet somehow he survives all of them, and he is remembered as a man after God's own heart. And the question becomes, how was he able to do that? And I think we can find the answer as we consider just one snapshot in time of David's life. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Read with me, please, beginning in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negeb and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Naboth of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So thinking about the context of what we're seeing here, at this time in his life, David is living here in this city, Ziklag. He has fled from King Saul, and he is now living among the Philistines. Now the Philistines had been preparing to battle against King Saul, and David and his men had gone to join with the Philistines, but the Philistines didn't trust him. So they sent him and his men back to Ziklag. Now when we read this context and we read about the women and the children and the small and great being taken off, all the fighting age men were probably over there to fight that battle. So this was an opportunistic raid upon this city because all the fighting age men were not there to defend this city. And so as you can imagine, when David and his guys show up, they're not out there fighting the battle, and so they become the object of the scorn of anybody that was left because, hey, you know, you're not fighting the battle, then you should have been here to fight this battle. And so they're attacked and they're burned by the Amalekites, all of these having been kidnapped, including those of David's own family. And David is distressed. It says that they wept until they had no more strength to weep at all. Have you ever had a time like that? Where something distressed you so much that you shed tears over it to the point that you felt like you had no more strength. There was nothing left. It just took it right out of you. That's the case that David is in. That's how distressed he is. And on top of this, the people are ready to kill him for not having been there when he was needed. But think about the last part of verse 6. What does he do when he's lost his family and his own life is threatened? He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's what David did first when times of trouble came. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And with that strength that he received, he was then able to deal with whatever the problem was before him. And so when we say that he's remembered as a man after God's own heart, we need to also realize that that didn't mean that his life was easy sailing. It doesn't mean that he never faced difficulties. It means that he handled the difficulties the right way, which was to turn to the Lord. And so what I want to explore this evening is what it means to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. And so in an effort to answer that, I want to go to some of the Psalms. And when you think about the Psalms, you know, we think about praise primarily. We think about different things that are taught to us through the Psalms, even some that are prophetic. But in terms of David penning Psalms, you think about the fact that, first of all, while he was pursued by Saul, he writes Psalm 59. And when he's imprisoned in Gath, he writes Psalm 56. And when he's fleeing from Absalom, he wrote Psalm 3. And when he's hiding in the wilderness of Judah, he wrote Psalm 63. Are you starting to see a pattern? Not only was he penning how he felt about these circumstances, but me in trying to understand the mind of David, I believe that this was a way of him to focus himself in the right direction. Because if he didn't focus himself, then he'd go the wrong direction. And how many times do we do that? We face a time of trouble, and if we don't make the conscious decision to turn toward the Lord, then we tend to focus on other things and be distracted from being strengthened by the Lord, when that's what we truly need. So let's look at Psalm 56 then. Psalm 56, we learn that David would place his trust in God in order to find help in times of trouble. And that needs to be the place that we begin. Not only is God the source of all good things, but he is completely trustworthy and he actually does care. He cares about what we go through. Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to take away every trial that we face, but it does mean that we can turn to him for strength, just as we see David doing. Let's look at a couple of little spots here in Psalm 56. First of all, in verse 3, he says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" Then look at verse 9. "My enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Sounds a lot like something we find in the New Testament, doesn't it? If God is for us, who could possibly be against us? But understand that in this moment of difficulty, David says, well, let me put a word in David's mouth, if you'll just give me a little bit of leeway on this. David might have been thinking, my first inclination is to be afraid. But if I turn to the Lord, I don't have to be afraid. And people ask that question sometimes as maybe I don't have enough faith to trust in God, or I just have trouble trusting in God in this moment of my life. Well, if you will focus yourself on him, the other things melt away into the background. And that's what David is doing. He says, I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to trust you. Even though, as he says in verse 2, my enemies trample on me all day long. They attack me proudly. He says, I'm facing this difficulty. But he says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And that enables him then to say, I will not be afraid in verse 11. Focus on the Lord. Trust him to help in that time of need. You go over just a little bit in your Bible to Psalm 59. What we also see with David is that he would determine that he was going to continue praising God through a difficult time, through a time in which we might be tempted to not be thinking about praising God. In Psalm 59 and verse 16, Psalm 59 and verse 16, he said, I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. Remember how it starts? Look back in verse 1. Psalm 59, verse 1, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil. Save me from bloodthirsty men. I mean, that sounds bad. Sounds terrible. I don't think he used that word bloodthirsty lightly. But here he's saying, these are the kind of enemies that I'm facing. And what does he do? In verse 14 he says, each evening they come back, howling like dogs, prowling about the city, wander about for food, and growl if they do not get their fill. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge. Bloodthirsty men encircling him, coming after him, and he says, I'm going to praise my God. I hope what you're beginning to see is the idea of being strengthened in the Lord means that we have to do things the Lord's way, focusing on him rather than what might come second nature to us. You might think, well, David is pursued by these kinds of enemies. You go get your army and you take care of this. You're the king. You deal with this. You go. You're a big, mighty, valorous man. You've got all these other valorous men that are with you that can do all of these battles. You're the one that faced Goliath. Just face these guys head on. But what does he do? He turns to the Lord. One of the things I've come to appreciate about David is that despite his fighting prowess, despite the fact that he had gone on the battlefield so many times and done so many things, he really wanted to handle it in a godly way before he had to go out and fight somebody. And that impresses me. That's a man after God's own heart. I would rather let God handle this in some other way than me having to go out and fight. And so he was determined to praise God and to lean on him for help rather than fighting his own battle alone. Let's go over to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. He continues to seek the Lord through all of this. Remember, this is the time in which he's in the wilderness. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. So he's seeking the Lord despite the circumstance that he finds him in. And then verse 3, he says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hand. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. So he seeks the Lord. He praises and prays to the Lord. And then verse 6, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. He meditates upon the Lord. Again, these are responses of a godly man. These are responses of a man that wants to handle things in a way that pleases the Lord, rather than what might come second nature to any person, much less David. You see, we have in our mind that terrible time is merely a matter of praying and weeping. But David says, in addition to the praying, and yes, the weeping along the way, I'm going to praise my God. I'm going to pray to him. I'm going to glorify him in what I do. And so in each of these psalms, David is basically saying the same thing. When the troublesome times come, put your trust in the Lord. Stay close to Him through praising Him and praying to Him and meditating upon His Word. Do this and you'll be made strong as the Lord supports you. So there in Psalm 63 and verse 8, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. You see, that's how David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So when we read over there in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, when it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord, now we see through his pen in the Psalms how he was able to do that. We need to adopt the correct response, no matter what the circumstance is that we face in our lives. He was able to face these things. He was able to overcome these things with the aid of God, with the strength that was provided, with the right focus, despite the difficulties. And so we think about this in terms of our problems today. I'm not King David. Thankfully, I'm not running for my life from anybody. Thankfully, I don't have bloodthirsty enemies that are trying to hunt me down. But nonetheless, I face trials, both physical and spiritual, just like everybody else. I know that you do as well. Some of those problems may be related to family. Sometimes they're matters of personal concern. Sometimes they're related to careers, job stability, financial security. But in many cases, people try to tackle their problems alone. They leave God completely out of the picture, sometimes even forsaking Him entirely. And so David says, pray and praise God. But when people try to handle things on their own, that's the last thing they turn to. Unfortunately also, not only do they begin to isolate themselves from the Lord instead of growing closer to Him, they do the same with their fellow Christians. And so they face those times, and suddenly they're not here for every service anymore. They don't feel like worshiping. They don't feel like praising. They don't reach out. They don't try to find the godly response. And so they begin to neglect their spiritual side in their life because they completely focus on these things, trying to handle them alone. And they're no longer being built up anymore. And what happens when you're not being built up? You shrink back. They're no longer worshiping God anymore. And what happens when we're not worshiping and praising God and praying to Him? We don't think of Him. We certainly don't meditate on His Word anymore in order to find the answers to life's problems. And the reasoning is often expressed, well, let me get my life straight and then I'll be able to serve God and live for Him. As I spoke about this morning, we're always going to have an adversary and he's never going to let things be peaceful. He's never going to leave us alone so that we can say, well, I finally got everything straight. I can just focus on worshiping God now. It doesn't come. It's a fallacy. Let's go over to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. You see, when people adopt this attitude of, I'll figure it out myself, I'll handle it myself, I'm not going to grow closer to God, I'm not going to rely on God, I'm not going to trust God, that displeases God. Here God is desiring a relationship with us, desiring for us to not only worship Him, but adore Him, trust Him, rely upon Him. And we say, well, I'm going to do this without you. Well, we have a couple of passages that teach us about how God saw the Israelites dealing with things on their own instead of relying on Him and how He looked at that. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. He presents a contrast. You want to figure it all out on your own? You want to do it by yourself? You don't want to include the Lord in dealing with your problems? Then you'll be like one who is going through the desert, where there is no water to refresh you, much less let you flourish. But the one that trusts in the Lord, that gives him his heart, would be like that tree planted by the water that is not only doing well, but it is flourishing, it is bearing fruit. Let's go backward a little bit to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30. Isaiah, chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30, we have the Israelites being attacked by Assyria. And instead of turning to the Lord and letting him fight their battles for him, for them, they're placing their trust in Egypt. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1, he says, "Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt." He says, you made a plan, but it didn't come from me. You didn't even consult me. And they make these decisions. And so because of that, God promised to frustrate the efforts of Israel to solve their problems by themselves. And so there in verse 3, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 3, "Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame, and the shelter and the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation." Now look over in chapter 31, Isaiah chapter 31. He says there in verse 1, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. And yet he is wise and brings disaster. He does not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the helpers of those who work iniquity. The Egyptians are man and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and they will all perish together." God wanted Israel to simply trust in him and turn to him when they faced those difficulties. But instead, they decided, we'll handle it ourselves. They'd forgotten crossing a parted sea. They had forgotten wandering in the wilderness and having manna and water. They'd forgotten the walls of Jericho falling down. They'd forgotten everything. They'd forgotten every battle that the Lord fought for them and decided that their only way of out was to trust in Egypt. And the Lord decided he would frustrate those efforts. If we go back to chapter 30, look at verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, 'No, we will flee upon horses.' Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift." You see, God could have been frustrating their enemies, but instead he was frustrating them because they wouldn't trust in him. I do not pretend to know the mind of God outside of what he has revealed to us. But can you imagine that he waits and desires so much for us to trust him, only for us to try to go our own way? God wants us to put our trust in him. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Do you want to be closer to God or farther away from God when something bad happens? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. David went from weeping so much that it sapped his strength to being strengthened in the Lord. Why? Because he cast his anxiety on the Lord. He let the Lord handle it and strengthen him so that he could continue. You see, the truth of the matter is that it is not, as many people have said, God helps those that help themselves, but rather God helps those that trust in the Lord with all their heart. That's what the truth of the matter is. For we find that in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. When we leave God out of the picture in solving the problems that we face in our life, one thing is certain. God leaves us to deal with those problems on our own without His help. If we decide we're going to go it alone, He's not going to force us. If we decide we're going to handle it all ourselves without drawing closer to Him, He will let us. That is our choice. But make no mistake, it is not pleasing to Him. It does not satisfy Him. And I truly believe it hurts Him, because He wants to help. He wants us to be close to Him. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. That's what He desires. That's what He wants. In an act of loving discipline, God may also frustrate our efforts to solve our problems independent of His help. So we need to learn from David, that was very experienced in dealing with all of these problems. In times of trouble, he looked to the Lord. For his strength, he trusted in the Lord. He was steadfast in praising Him and praying to Him. David is, if you will, through the words of his own pen in the Psalms, is imploring us, do not forsake Him. Do not forsake the help of the Lord. Do not forsake the help of the fellow saints. Draw near to Him. Psalm 63, verse 8, he said, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. I've been thinking about that clinging. It's not a clinging like, okay, if it's there, I'll hold on. I think about a child that might be afraid, that will not let go of his mother. He's going to hold on for dear life. Or maybe if mom's not there, it'd be dad too. But that child is trusting in the parent in a time in which they are afraid. And they don't know what's going to happen. And they don't know what comes next. And they don't know how to deal with it. And here we are, the children of God, and we need to be clinging to Him. Because we don't necessarily know how it's going to turn out. Speaking of temporary problems, not talking about the ultimate spiritual battle. We don't necessarily know what the path is going to be. We feel uncertain. We feel afraid. Let's cling to the Lord. Let Him uphold us. And remember that those that trust in God, they will find the strength to handle these things. They will find deliverance. They will find true happiness. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to turn out the way I would even prefer. It doesn't mean that everything's always going to turn out rosy. It means that in the grand scheme of things, if we hold on to God, we will be just fine. He'll hold us in the hollow of His hand. Where no one can snatch us away. We will be His. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to let the Lord be our deliverance. Especially when we're talking about the guilt of sin. When we sin, we absolutely need the Lord. There is no way to satisfy the guilt of sin without Him. God had a plan from the very beginning of time. Before He even created man, He had a plan to save man. Why? Because He gave man free will. And because He gave man free will, they would make choices that would lead them to sin against him. And that meant that he had to send his son, Jesus Christ. And his son had to die on that cross, not because of any guilt of his own, but in order to be that guiltless sacrifice for us. And so, do we trust him? Especially in regard to our sins. Do we open ourselves up to him? He's already seen everything. He already knows what you've done, what you've said, what you've thought. There's nothing that you can hide from him. He knows every intention of the heart. But nonetheless, we still must open ourselves up to him and expose ourselves, confessing that sin so that we can be forgiven. We have to accept the guilt so that he can make us guiltless. And it is that blood of Jesus that makes that possible for us. And so I hope that you will trust in the Lord. We've chosen number 828 as a song of invitation. If you realize that you need the help of the Lord and you need the help of his saints today, and you'd like to take advantage of our invitation to help you in these spiritual matters, won't you please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.